Succession series on Psalm 103, living in the power of the gospel. Jesus, he purchased a benefit package for your salvation, the forgiveness of all your sins, the healing of all your diseases, the redemption of your life from destruction, the crowning of your life with loving kindness and compassion, the satisfying your years with good things, and the renewing of your strength like an eagle's. Now, do these benefits seem too good to be true? Are you living in the full inheritance that God has for you? In this series, we're not only going to learn what rightfully belongs to us in Jesus Christ, but how to live in the reality of the fullness of our salvation. In today's session, we're going to look at two keys for living in the power of the gospel based on the very first two verses of Psalm 103. This past Sunday, we celebrated one of the most remarkable events in history, Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. The same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this age, but the age to come, is the same power that lives inside of you as a born-again believer, or for anyone and everyone who chooses to believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now that's remarkable. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, Paul prayed a prayer for the church at Ephesus, and in it he prayed that the eyes of their understanding would be open. And one of the things that he prayed for was that the eyes of their understanding would be open to what? The exceeding greatness of his power towards you and I, those who believe. Now, he could have said just power, but he knows that there's an exceeding greatness of power that God wants us to live in on a daily basis. So close your eyes and let's pray the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. Father, I pray tonight that we would know what is exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. In these next 6 weeks in our Psalm 103 series, help us to learn how we can live in the power of the gospel, the fullness of all the benefits that you have given to us through Jesus's victorious work on the cross. Amen. If you want to experience the exceeding greatness of his power, let us pray this prayer in Ephesians 1, 17 through 21. And then I encourage you to come to this Psalm 103 series that we'll be studying for the next 6 weeks on living in the power of the gospel. Throughout your life, on an ongoing basis, God desires that you continue to know the exceeding greatness of his power that is able to save you to the uttermost. Why? Why would God want us to know the exceeding greatness of his power? So that we can accomplish his plan, his purposes, his will for our life, because he knows that we're going to need his power to overcome not only sin and sickness and things that confront us, but we're going to need his power to demonstrate who he is in the world that we live in, where the kingdom of darkness is ruling and reigning. What you cannot achieve, no matter how hard you try, God wants you to remember that Christ has already done it for you. Christ, as he's hanging on the cross, he cries out in John 19, 30, "It is finished." Now, by faith, you can live in the finished work of the cross. The victory that Jesus Christ bought for you with his own precious blood. You can live in the power of the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can claim now, right now, the fullness of your salvation. You can live in the power of your salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 is a Bible verse that literally was like a door that just opened up for me and allowed me to live in the Bible truths, the fullness of my salvation, especially in this area of healing. It says this: "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." That little word, N-O-W, now. So often we put our salvation into the future when God is saying, "No, I want you." This is what he's saying in 2 Corinthians 6:2. "I want you to experience my salvation for your life now. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." If we're always putting off our salvation and the salvation of others, and I'm not just talking about eternal salvation, I'm talking about everything that is listed in Psalm 103, which is a concise a way of putting what our core benefits of our salvation are all about. If we're always putting things into the future, our healing into the future, forgiveness into the future, the renewal of, you know, our strength into the future, that's our expectation. And we're always putting off what God says, "I want you to have right now faith so that you can live in what I have already provided for you." I love, as I was looking through some testimonies this week, just actually today, and I was recalling, though, this last week, testimonies of what he's done in our healing rooms and the healing events we have. I just love the testimonies that came to my mind, and I was trying to search so I could get the details of some of them, because some people have lived in conditions that lasted a long time until they understood that their salvation package included healing. So there's a lady, her name's Mary, and we had a healing meeting here in church. Somebody on our team went and prayed for her. She had type 2 diabetes. She had it for 12 years, and she said, as the person prayed, she says, immediately she felt a wave of refreshing, cool water flowing within her. All of her joints stopped hurting. She had this condition 12 years. "There was just deliverance and a freedom within me." She says, "During the prayer, I began to feel my feet for the first time in 10 years. The numbness, pain, and burning in my toes went away." Now, I was so excited about this testimony that I called her several months later. I says, it's good? You still feel your toes? You still feel?" She goes, "No, everything's just has improved." 12 years. And when she realized that her salvation package included healing, and it was for today is the day of your salvation. So when people come into the healing rooms or people walk across your life that are in need of one of these benefits that are listed in Psalm 103, don't think that they have to receive it sometime in the future. Call it in now for them. Here's another testimony. This lady, she was from the Caribbean island. She was just visiting a friend here in Camarillo. And she felt like God told her that when she came on this trip, she was going to receive healing. And so when she heard about the healing rooms, she came and received prayer. She says, I came in prayer because of pain in my back that I've been suffering with for 30 years. Due to several accidents, including being hit by a bicyclist on one occasion, by a minibus on another occasion. And then she was prayed for, and all the pain left, and she says, I could actually, like, you know, bend down, touch her toes, twist her back around, and have absolutely no pain. 30 years of pain, we call it in now, and she receives her healing. Now, some things that are called in the now, we don't actually see, like forgiveness of sins. When you believe that you are forgiven, you're to be believe that you're forgiven now, but you can't see it. It's not tangible. But don't live in the shame or the guilt of it. Live in the freedom now that you have, fully forgiven of your sins. So I want you to think about an area right now where you have been putting off into the future something that God has provided for your salvation today. You guys all got something? Online, do you have something? You have something? Okay. Declare with me this. Now, I claim the fullness of my salvation. For then name what your salvation's for. And then after that, say, thank you, Jesus, for whatever it is. Your salvation is a gift. When I was real sick, a girlfriend, actually, she's one of my closest girlfriends, gave me a box, and in it were note cards, just like little a stack of like notes that you can write little things on. On the box was the same wording which was on this whole stack of note cards. So every time I wrote a note on these note cards, I was reminded of the Word of God. I thought at that time that my situation was really impossible, that it was impossible for me to receive healing. This box says, with God, all things are possible. You receive your salvation as a gift. And then when you receive a gift in the natural, you tell the person, thank you. And so as we go through this study today, I want you to think about anything that is mentioned about the benefits of your salvation as a gift. All things that you think are impossible are possible because it's a gift of God. It depends on what Christ has already done for you, the finished work of the cross, and not anything you need to do in order to receive it. Okay? We'll go over two things that unlock the door for you to receive it, that position you to receive it, but you can't earn it. You don't earn a gift. It's freely given to you. So if it's true that we can live now in the power and the victory of the cross, why is it not happening? Well, on Easter, millions and perhaps billions of people did not even know what happened 2,000 years ago this past Sunday. About 2,000 years ago, how Christ triumphed over all sin and all death, providing for you and I a way to God, access to Him that we never had had before Adam and Eve had sinned. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So it's our responsibility to use our mouth to declare the goodness of God in the fullness of His salvation. And for those of us who do know God, who profess to be Christians, we often don't walk in the reality of the power of the gospel because we really truly don't understand the greatness of our salvation as revealed in Psalm 103, and therefore we neglect it. Hebrews 2:3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" How can you escape hell's grip on your life, the enemy stealing and killing and destroying your life, if you neglect the very thing that God has given you to overcome what you are facing? Point number two, Psalm 103 reflects the appropriate response to your salvation. In the very first two verses, it says, "Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits." From Calvary's hill, where Christ's blood was shed, a cry was heard from God's heart, which reverberated throughout all the ages. In Psalm 103, I believe King David's heart picked up the heart cry of God, and he passionately responded by saying to his own soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all his benefits." Let's, right now, we don't want to neglect what God is doing, but sometimes, or maybe most of the time, our soul, our unrenewed mind and emotions, our unrenewed imagination, our unrenewed feelings is not in sync with what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. It's not in sync with the finished work, the gift that he has given us. It's not in sync with our spirit man, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. So let us stir up our souls as we start declaring over the next 6 weeks, Psalm 103, especially verse 1 and 2. We want our mouth, the confession of our mouth, to match the spirit man. Your spirit is one with the Holy Spirit, and we want your spirit, the Spirit of God living in you, to match the confession of your mouth. So let's all declare, let's stand up and declare it. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 2. Say it with passion. You know, people get excited at any sports event, you know, in front of their TVs. They're getting excited about their team. How much more so our God who died, sent his son to die on the cross. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You can be seated. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, mankind has experienced a measure of what Christ did, what the Lamb did on the cross for us. King David, he lived in a measure of it. When he wrote this psalm, he actually experienced some of these benefits in his life. That's why he's stirring up his soul. He's going like, "I remember when God did this. He forgave me when I did that adulterous thing with Bathsheba. And I'm blessing him. He's the one who forgives all my sins." He remembered when God healed all of his diseases, and he's stirring up his soul and he says, "I'm blessing you. I'm not forgetting when you healed all my diseases." How much more for you and I who live now on the other side of the cross where Jesus Christ has died, how we should be stirring up our souls to bless the Lord and not forget any of his benefits. When you do this, when you make Psalm 103 the Word of God, the core benefits of the cross, part of the major conversation that you have with God, rather than the things that you're confronting. Have you ever been with somebody on the phone or in person? and they spend, and they want you to pray, and they spend 1 hour or whatever it is, the majority of the time, telling you all of their problems, and then you have a one-sentence prayer. You laugh, right? What would happen if we reversed that? If we actually started declaring out of our mouth the next 6 weeks, Psalm 103, 22 verses, and we start talking to God about that and having that the 90% of our conversation and then saying, thank you, Lord. Now by faith, I receive all of this being done. What would happen? I believe faith would start stirring in our hearts. And I believe, like Alex said last week on Psalm 149, that the sword goes out of our mouth. That's the word of God. And it executes justice for those who we are praying for, and it executes justice in our own life. So why not put the word of God in our mouth rather than our own unfleshly, unlined up words that don't match what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross? Point B, don't forget his benefits. God will never forget what his son Jesus Christ accomplished for you and I. Would you, as a parent, if you did that, gave up your only son? God desires that you and I would not forget what his son Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, purchasing for us benefits that we need in this life. So that we don't just survive or stay under the pile, but that we can thrive in the fullness of the plans that God has for us. How many of you participated in the Psalm 1 series that we did for about 8 weeks? Yay! Okay. So this is really cool, I thought. The same two core things that were mentioned in Psalm 1 that we needed to do are the same two core things that are mentioned in Psalm 103. In Psalm 1, I listed this, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. And what are we remembering? To meditate in his word day and night. So it said, if we do those two things, we will live like the blessed Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. And we will be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in its season. And then whatever we do, we will prosper. That was the outflow of doing those two things. Now, Psalm 103 mentions these, basically these same two things using different language. Instead of saying, delight yourself in the Lord, it says, bless the Lord. You know, when you are actually experiencing the presence of God in your life, and you're actually encountering and experiencing his hand in your life, you're going to start delighting, and you're going to start blessing him. And you will want to do what King David did. You'll want to say, don't forget, Saul, when you're in the midst of something hard, don't forget, don't go off on that trail talking about not using 90% of your time talking about your problems. Don't forget what God has done. Start praising and thanking him. I don't know if I've shared this with you guys, but I had a dream when I was really sick, and this dream transformed my life. In the dream on a blackboard, I saw the word Jehoshaphat. I go to my husband that morning. I said to him, who's Jehoshaphat? See, I hadn't read the Bible from cover to cover. I knew about the Bible from different Bible studies, but I hadn't. And he goes, I think he's the guy that sent out the praise worshipers on front line of the battle, and they won. So I looked up his name, and I studied that chapter, 2 Chronicles 20, and I own that chapter. And you know what? When we bless the Lord, when we praise his name, when we actively engage ourselves in doing that, the Lord fights our battle for us. Now, we don't do that to get the end results, but that's the end results of blessing the Lord. So that was a key thing that the Lord gave me, and he had to give it to me in a dream because maybe I wouldn't have accepted it like you guys hopefully are accepting it right now. So you see that? The Lord is constantly repeating to us over and over. The first psalm that introduces all the psalms, he says, delight yourself in the Lord and meditate in his word day and night. Psalm 103 now. We're partway through the psalms. We haven't done it, but we're just grabbing Psalm 103 because of what it talks about our salvation. And we grab it and it says the same thing. Bless the Lord. And instead of saying meditate on his word day and night, it takes one aspect of God's word, the benefits that are given to us for our salvation. It says, don't forget the benefits that Christ Jesus has done for you on the cross. You are in need of them. Take hold of them. Don't let the enemy steal them, kill them, or destroy them. How do you keep them before you? By confessing them with your mouth. Amen. Bless the Lord. We bless him. His great love was demonstrated on the cross by giving his son Jesus Christ. And we respond back to his love by blessing him. He's the one that initiated love. And we're just responding back to him. He blesses us, we bless him. It's this inner change of this relationship going on with him. Point number three, the gospel of Christ is the power of God for your salvation. So why? Why did I choose to name something that is in the Old Testament, Psalm 103? Why did I call it living in the power of the gospel? By now, by what I've just said, you probably got a taste of it. Because Psalm 103 really is a prophetic declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the grace that is there for us. And it tells us two key things that we can begin to engage our lives in so that we can set our hearts in position to receive the benefits. Point B under Roman numeral 3, living in the power of the gospel described by Apostle Paul in the following verses. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Then when he writes 1 Corinthians, he says this in chapter 1, 18. The message of the cross to us who are being saved is the power of God. Acts 20. 24, he says this, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Three different phrases, the gospel of Christ, the message of the cross, and the gospel of grace all mean the exact same thing. And what are they equated with? They're basically saying the gospel is equated with, that's the is sign, is an equal sign in the English language. The gospel is equal to what? The power of God. The message of the cross is equal to what? The power of God. The grace that is given to us through the gospel is equal to what? The power of God. So if we want the power of God in our life, we need to know the gospel of Christ, the message of the cross. We need to know the grace of God. And we need to know it not just up here. We need to know it experientially. What's the purpose of God's power that is brought forth to us through the gospel or the message of the cross? The purpose is for us to experience the effects of salvation. the effects of God's grace in our life. Roman numeral 4, you'll probably all be able to relate to the words I chose here. Your all-inclusive salvation in Jesus Christ. It's based on Psalm 103, verse 2, where it says, "Forget not all his benefits." All his benefits is an all-inclusive salvation. Salvation is a power-packed word. It's an all-inclusive word. In session 2 of Psalm 1 study, we discovered that the word salvation appeared multiple times throughout all of the Psalms. And salvation, when it was translated from its Hebrew word into English, it was translated like eternal salvation, help, healing, deliverance, you know, whatever thing that you would need, that's what salvation was translated like. So I put some words down. It's your prosperity, your victory. It's the same way that the word sozo in Greek in the New Testament is translated. Sozo in Greek is translated numerous ways in the New Testament to describe the all-inclusive salvation package that we have in Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever gone on an all-inclusive to an all-inclusive resort, an all-inclusive cruise? Just a couple? Okay, more than that. Okay. So you know that the word all-inclusive, what they mean, is really not all-inclusive, first off. But all-inclusive means that you pay one price, and then you get your accommodation. Some people love this. All the drinks that they could have, all the food you can have, and many, many activities. You pay one price, and then you get to go to the resort, and get to go on the cruise, and enjoy all the benefits. In my gym class, you know, people that I don't even know, they'll come up, and like this last week on Friday, a lady came up to me, this class coming in, and I often say hi to her. And she was so excited because she was going, and it sounded like one on one of these all-inclusive vacations. I thought, what would happen if we got excited every day of our life because we have an all-inclusive salvation package? It is better than any vacation we could ever go on. But we have not linked up to it. We have not understood how to enter in to it. We think we have to pay something like we would for an all-inclusive resort or an all-inclusive cruise. I know that's what I was trying to do when I was trying to get my healing. I was trying to earn my right to be healed. Now, this word salvation that appears throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is actually Yeshua, and Yeshua is Jesus's Hebrew name. So salvation is Jesus. In Jesus is everything that you need for your salvation. Jesus is the gift of God, and in Jesus there's forgiveness and healing and redemption and renewal and victory and deliverance, everything that you need in Jesus Christ. If you take a look at point number D, the core benefits of your salvation, it's Psalm 103, 3 through 5. Let's all declare that together, the verses there. These are the core benefits of your salvation. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those are the core benefits. Unfortunately, very few people, and you read through those and you're going, I don't know if I really, maybe one of these I've experienced some of the time or part of the time, and maybe two of these. God wants us to experience all of them all the time. Why is so very few people experiencing these benefits? It's because they're often not preached or taught, and therefore very few people know their rights or their privileges. We know Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And now take a look at this. We all know Romans 10:17, but this really shocked me, Romans 10:16, years ago when I read it. It says this, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? If they have been taught, not all have obeyed the gospel. Believing is an act of obedience of the gospel message. This phrase, who has believed our report, is the exact, they're quoting from Isaiah 53, which is a prophetic declaration of everything that Jesus would do for you and I on the cross. And it begins, who has believed its report? Believing God's report is an act of obedience. If we don't believe, we will not receive. In Romans 1:16, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. But we got to what? Believe. Once you make the initial choice to believe in Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, you're born again. But you don't stop there. The word believe in Romans 1:16 is a present participle that expresses the idea of a continuous and repeated action. If you want to experience the power of God for your salvation, you need to continue to believe in an ongoing way for all the benefits on a daily, sometimes moment by moment basis. Colossians 1:23 speaks of this. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the gospel, the hope of the gospel. There's many things that want to move us away from the hope of the gospel. It takes energy. It takes the power of God to keep on believing. Everyone, God does not pick and choose who will receive the benefits of his salvation. Rather, we are the ones that choose whether we will believe his report or not. I want to speak on grace and faith. We receive, I said, the gift of God by faith, but it's through grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. So we need both faith and grace in order to receive the gift of God. We talked about this before, but grace is the acronym God's, G, God, R, riches. Those are all his benefits that were spoken of in Psalm 103 that you declared, at Christ's expense. So all of God's riches were paid for you. The all-inclusive benefit package has been paid for you by Jesus Christ with his precious blood. It was a perfect and complete sacrifice. You don't need to add to it in any way for anything that you'll ever need in this entire life. There's three stages of your salvation that I mentioned there. We won't go into them in detail, but when Paul's talking about the gospel of Christ being the power of God for your salvation, he's talking about the past, present, and future tense realities. You were saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. We talked in Psalm 1, the past tense reality, which is your justification, your righteousness, You can go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 21 for that. But if you don't understand that you're righteous, it's going to be hard to receive in a present tense reality on an ongoing basis all the benefits that are mentioned in Psalm 103. Your present tense salvation is sanctification. You receive and you're able to walk in God's salvation because of the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you through the Holy Spirit. So there are some verses there, 1 Corinthians 6:17, 1 Corinthians 3:16, Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11, if you're sick in your body, is so key. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells within you. The life of God is dwelling in us, and He can bring life, resurrection life, to every portion of our being. We can experience the greatness of our God, the greatness of His power every day in every part of our being, in every situation, and we choose to walk by faith in His grace and not by sight. And we can release His power wherever we go. Oh, I'm going to end it there because I really want to end with communion tonight. So before we end, what I'm going to do on Roman numeral 6, bless the Lord, we'll continue on with that. That's one of the keys. We already talked about it a little bit. And then we talked about, you know, not forgetting any of His benefits. But what I want to end with is Roman numeral 7, the great exchange of the cross. Can you bring communion up? So, when the Lord says, forget not all His benefits, He's echoing the cry of Jesus' heart at the Last Supper when He said, remember, do this in remembrance of Me. So when we think about forgetting not all His benefits, let's hear Jesus as He's sitting down at the Last Supper and saying to each one of us, do this in remembrance of Me. Do what? Don't forget Me. Don't forget what I did for you. So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to have everybody come forward, and you're going to receive the great exchange of the cross. And if you're online, what you can do is you can actually go to our resources and click on prayers, and then it's called the great exchange of the cross. So everyone come forward. And Sylvia, would you mind just handing these out? What you're going to do right now, as Sylvia gives you the paper, you're going to look over all the benefits. There's 8 listed here. They're taken from a book called Bought with the Blood by Joseph Prince. And the first benefit is talking about the forgiveness of our sin. The second one, healing. Third one, removing the curse. Fourth one, talking about receiving abundance and giving Him our poverty. But each one of these benefits, what I've done is I made a statement about what Jesus has done for you. And then right under the benefit, I put down an exchange. So let's take a look just at Roman numeral 1. We'll do a Roman numeral 1 all together. And then at home or during the week, as we go through the next 6 weeks, I want you to not lose this paper. You can always get it online and download it or send it to a friend. It's under resources, under prayer. But let's just take a look at number 1, okay? So at the top of the page, I said, engage in the exchange of the cross. The simplest way to receive all that Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross is by engaging your mouth and heart in the great exchange, giving Him your weakness and lack, and taking His gift of salvation. This is His gift of salvation. He says, do this in remembrance of Me, communion. After you do this, thank God for His salvation gift, His benefits. Romans 10:10 says this, for with the heart one believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let's all recite just number one, all 3 points out loud so you can understand. But when you get to the exchange and you're doing this at home, be real with God and actually see yourself giving to the Lord your problem, whether it's your sin, your sickness, your poverty, what your lack, you know, your despair, your discouragement. See yourself giving it to Him. Jesus is a real person. He's here in our midst. He's not just a figment of people's imagination. He's a real person. So see yourself handing over the problem to Him. But then see yourself taking the benefit that He has given to you. And then you get to start walking it. You know, when God gives you a gift, when you're given a gift, I have a choice that when I receive a gift, whether I just throw it away, give it to Goodwill or some other kind of place like that, give it away to a friend, put it in my closet, or actually use the gift. Okay? So how can you use the gift? Confess it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and walk in the freedom of it this week. So let's do number one only. Let's say it all out loud together before we take communion. Jesus was punished and made sin with your sinfulness, so that you could be forgiven and made righteous. And then you'll see all the Bible references you can look up on each one of these exchanges that I've written. Exchange. Give Jesus your sins and take His forgiveness and righteousness that He is offering you. So take a moment and give Jesus now your sins and then take His forgiveness. And you'll probably want to take longer for this at home. You want to be real with God and connect with Him. But we're going to actually say all this together right now. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my sins and making me righteous. Okay. So, Father, we just thank You that on the night that You were betrayed, You took the bread and the cup into Your holy hands, and You said to Your disciples, as You say to us tonight, You said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So take and eat what He's given to you tonight. And then on the same night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the cup into His hands and He said, this is the cup of my new covenant. The new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Remember me. So take and drink of Your forgiveness. So thank you for joining us online and thank you for coming.